May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one who is our treasure, the one we love because He has loved us and given us His very life. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel today, Mark 10. Let us pray as we continue to consider God's word. We pray, Lord, grant us all the Holy Spirit that we would gladly hear the word and receive it in faith. Help us now concentrate on the word. May we be spiritually fed by your word. Strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. Close but no cigar. You ever heard that expression? Close but no cigar. You're playing basketball. Get our minds off of football for a moment. We're playing basketball and you're down by 1 point. You have a final shot. Pretty easy shot. It goes in, rolls around, comes out. Buzzer goes off, you lose. You might say, close, but no cigar. We were real close to winning, but we didn't win. Or maybe you take a test at school, and you think you do well. You got 91%, but an A is 92%. And you might say, close, but no way, no cigar. I got a B. Doggone it. Or you apply for a job, and you have two or three interviews, and you think you're going to get the job. It's really a job you want, but then someone sneaks in before you. You're second in line, and you say, close, but no cigar. I didn't get the job. Or you foolishly play the lottery, which some of you do. And all your numbers are right there. You're going to win big money, but that final number, whatever it is, I don't play, didn't work out. You might say, I was close. I had all the numbers, but no cigar. The theme of the gospel today could be close, but no salvation. This young man who visits with Jesus for a while, we might say he is close. He's got 1 foot in the door. He's ready to go to heaven by all appearances. He's ready to be in the kingdom. He's ready to go with Jesus. He's going to be in heaven. He's going to have treasure. He's going to be in. He is close, 1 foot in, but no salvation. For the final verse would make us all cry a bit. Disheartened by the saying, he went away. Literally, he forsook Jesus. He deserted Jesus with sorrow, for he had great possessions. He's really close. The Son of God is right there. And yet, he'll go his own way. I suggest this young man's a lot like a lot of Americans. You know, there are people in the world that downright hate Jesus, hate God, worship idols, and they are far away from the kingdom. We pray for them, and they can still be saved. That's why we have missionaries out there. There's a lot of work to do, though, on those. Then there are many around here that are very close because there's churches all over the place. The gospel's going out all over the place. It's all over the airwaves. The churches are in session today. Wow, they're really close. They're driving by right now. They're really close. And yet there's no salvation. They got 1 foot in, and yet they walk away. Maybe you know a family member like that, a friend like that, a coworker like that. They're really close, but no salvation. Let me say 5 things about being close today, so we can distinguish between being close and being in. Big difference. One leads to heaven, the other goes to hell. Close doesn't matter in salvation. You got to be in the kingdom, which is faith. 5 things. First of all, the man runs to Jesus. He's close, but he doesn't remain with Jesus, so he is far, far away. But he looks good. He runs to Jesus. He's a grown man running after Jesus. He doesn't wait for Jesus to come to him. He runs after him, the text says. He's eager. He's anxious. Surely he's going to be saved. Surely he's going to be in heaven. A guy that's this eager? After all, you had a lot of people back then and a lot of people today that aren't so eager. They kind of watch on the sidelines, or they ignore the word of God, or they just avoid it totally. This guy is really interested. He is close, running. And yet, at the end, as we read, he does not remain with Jesus. He forsakes him. He only talks to him for, a few minutes here, a little conversation. He's with the Son of God, and yet he walks away. And unless he repents later, he's in hell. As I mentioned, a lot of people like this guy that seem to be interested in the Bible, interested in Jesus, interested in the church. They might even come for a little while, all excited, yeah, we're in. But then because of the temptations of the world, because of the love of money, the love of their job, the love of treasure and earthly gain, they kind of drift away. I got more important things. I'm too, quote, busy for God. You know, you maybe heard the story of the poor farmer who died and went to heaven. As he entered heaven, Peter was there, welcomed him, shook his hand. A couple angels there rejoiced, praise God, he's in. A second poor farmer entered heaven much the same way. Peter shook his hand, a couple angels rejoicing, he's in. A third poor farmer enters the same way, shakes Peter's hand, a few angels rejoicing, he's in. And then a rich man enters heaven. Peter gives him a big hug. There are hundreds and thousands of angels rejoicing, praising God that this rich man's in heaven. And so the three poor farmers say, Peter, why? Discrimination. A little celebration for us, a big celebration for this rich man, why? And Peter says, we get poor farmers in here every day. It's been 100 years since we had a rich man. Cute story. A lot of truth to it. It is very hard for the rich, the greedy, to enter the kingdom. You that way? Close, but no salvation? He runs, but he doesn't remain. Secondly, he respects Jesus, but he doesn't really recognize who he is or believe who he is. But this guy looks like he's saved. He looks like he's going to be in. Notice how respectful he is. He kneels down before Jesus. What respect to kneel down before Jesus. And then he gives Jesus the title, Good Teacher. This is reverence and respect a lot of us don't show as Christians. Kneeling down, Good Teacher. I mean, not a whole lot of people knelt down to Jesus. A few do, but not a whole lot. And many people do not call him Good Teacher. They call him a blasphemer at this point. They call him a friend of sinners, a Sabbath breaker, possessed by the devil. He's being ridiculed. But this guy is close, kneels down, Good Teacher. And yet, he's far away. For he doesn't really recognize or believe who Jesus is. For the one in front of him is a whole lot more than just a good teacher who might guide him to heaven. The one before him is the very Son of God, the second person of the Trinity in human flesh, the Savior of the world, who's not just going to teach him how to get there, but it's his very way there. The one who will die for his sins, the one who will rise again, the good shepherd, the light of the world, the way, the truth, and life is right there in front of him. And he merely calls him good teacher. Doesn't really recognize who's in front of him. Jesus tries to show him. Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Hint, hint, I'm God. That's why I am good and I can get you to heaven. But no such confession follows from this poor soul. What would you think if Peyton Manning were here today? And I were to introduce the beloved Peyton Manning. And I would say, here's Peyton Manning here today. And he was a good high school quarterback. Here's a great high school quarterback, Peyton Manning. You guys would be saying, well, Pastor Buscher, we realize you're not from these parts, but Pastor Buscher, he's a lot more than a good high school quarterback. He is the greatest quarterback in Tennessee history. He should have won the Heisman Trophy. No offense, Keith Denton, the Michigan fan. He should have won that, and he's been a great NFL quarterback. He's won the Super Bowl, maybe the greatest quarterback ever, arguably. He's a lot more than a good high school quarterback. That's offensive. That's demeaning. And so how offensive to merely call Jesus a good teacher. A lot of people like that in the world. Oh, he's a good teacher. Son of God, no, he's a good teacher. No, he's not. For he claims to be God. He claims to be the Christ Messiah. And if he's not, he's a liar. And liars don't make good teachers. One or the other. What say you about Jesus? Close but no salvation. Thirdly, he is religious. He is a very religious man, but he rejects the truth and the answer Jesus gives him. But he's religious. Notice the question he asks. He runs up to Jesus, kneels. So this guy's in. And then he asks a great question. How do I get to heaven? What must I do to enter eternal life? What a great question. He's a religious man. He doesn't ask for healing. He doesn't ask for more money. He doesn't ask for a better job. He doesn't ask for the right candidate to win the presidency. He doesn't ask for these things, these shallower things. He asks, what must I do to get to heaven? I'm thinking of the afterlife now, not just this life, but heaven. What a great question. He's spiritual. He's interested. And Jesus gives him a simple answer at the end of the text. Go sell all you have, because your money's your idol, pal. Got to repent of that. It's going to get in the way, and come follow me. You need me. Christ gives him one solution to go to heaven. It's him. Come follow me is the call to faith. Despair of yourself, deny yourself, you need me. Come with me to the cross. Come with me to the resurrection. Come with me, be baptized in my name like Joshua and Emily. Come with me, I'm what you need. I'm your Savior, I'm the way. And the man flat out rejects it. He wants another way. And the other way he wants is called himself. I'll trust myself. There's a lot of people like this guy around here. They're spiritual people. They're religious people. They're interested in religious things. But they flat out reject that Jesus is the way. And there is no other way, for he is the Son of God. They'll reject that and choose every other path. And they'll end up in hell, for he is the only way. They may be sincere. I sincerely believe in these things. Surely I'm going to go, you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. If you told me today, Pastor, my family and I are going to Florida for fall break. We're going to Disney World. We're going to catch 75 north and go to Florida. What am I going to say to you? You are a fool. You're going to end up somewhere better called Indiana, but that's another story. You're ignorant. But I'm going to Florida. I'm heading on 75 north. I'm sincere about it. You're sincerely going the wrong way, you fool. Turn around. Florida south. But I'm sincere. But you're wrong. A lot of people can be sincere about things, religious, but they're wrong. They're heading the wrong path, which is the hell. Christ is the way, the only way. Number four, this man is outwardly righteous, but he will not repent and claim the righteousness of Jesus. But outwardly, this guy's a good guy. You want this guy as your neighbor. Jesus says to him, you know the commandments. You want to go to heaven? Christ is testing him a bit. You know, don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Honor your mom and dad. Obey the law. You know that. And what's the guy say? All these I have kept from my youth. Now we begin to see his utter arrogance and his self-righteousness that's in the way. It's not just the money he has to get rid of. It's his self-righteousness he's got to give up. Despair of himself and all his good deeds. But he's a good man. I mean, he hasn't sowed any wild oats, obviously, like a lot of teenagers do. I did. He hasn't slipped up. He doesn't say, we've all made mistakes. I made a few mistakes. Jesus, you know, no one's perfect. He says, all these I've kept my youth. And no one argues with him. No one says, ah, Jesus, I know some stories. His mom doesn't show up. I know some stories about this kid. Wait a second here. Jesus doesn't even argue with him. He's a good man. Outwardly, everybody's saying, this guy's going to heaven. Look how good he is. He's obeyed the commandments. He doesn't have one drop of repentance. Not one ounce of repentance flows from his lips. Like, I have sinned. I have done wrong. I've tried, but I can't obey the commandments. He's utterly in the darkness of his self-righteousness. And he's going to be in hell because of it. You be in hell, you'll be with yourself. And you'll love yourself so much you can't get enough of yourself. Is that what you want? Just love yourself all the time in hell. And how wonderful you are. Sickening. No repentance. You know what the most annoying sound is to people? Some college in England did a study of the most annoying sound to people. And in second place was a fork on glass. Kind of sick. In first place was a knife on glass. Ah! What's the most annoying sound to our God? Let me tell you. The most annoying sound to our God is I, me, 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 I. Look at I, God. Look at me, God. Look at how great I am, God. I've obeyed everything from my youth. I. God wants to hear, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me my sins, for I have sinned. What annoys God terribly is self-righteousness when His own Son came to make us righteous. His own Son lived the perfect life, outwardly and inwardly in every other way you can. His own Son died for our sins and rose again, and He rejects all of that for Himself. Looks close, but He's far away. To sum it all up, point number 5, Jesus reaches out to him. Jesus reaches out and calls this man, and yet he will not rely on Jesus for salvation. That's the bottom line. But he is so close. He has God right there in front of him. Wouldn't you want this? Jesus right in front of you, talking to you, and Jesus invites him. Jesus doesn't say, get away. You're self-righteous. Get away. I don't need types like you. Jesus doesn't do that at all. Jesus says, go sell all your possessions. Get rid of that, the idols, your self-righteousness and your riches. Get rid of all that. That's a stumbling block. That's repentance now. Confession of sins is what he's calling them to do. And come follow me. What an invitation. What a call. Jesus saying, come follow me. I will save you. You don't have to do anything. I'll do it all at Calvary's cross and in the resurrection. And the man says no. What a fool. To say no to Jesus, no to the invitation to treasure in heaven, and to joy and peace and forgiveness of your sins, you say no? Close and yet so far away. He will not believe. He will not rely. He will not put his faith in Christ himself. He'd rather have his own righteousness than Jesus' righteousness. Which would you rather have? Which are you going to count on to get you to heaven? Yourself or Jesus? He would rather have his own riches rather than the riches of heaven in the end. What do you want? He would rather try and try and try to make his way to heaven than simply to trust in the Son of God who would save him and deliver him. He goes home happy. He goes home sad, rather, sorrowful, disheartened. How are you going to go home today? Read a study to conclude on happiness. You know, happiness is this great mystery. How can I be happy? And they determined in the end, there's a lot of studies on this, but in the end they determined what really makes us happy is relationships. Not money, not possessions, not our team winning, but relationships. Relationships give us fulfillment and happiness, the right relationships. And that's not bad, because I'll tell you the relationship that you need if you really want to be happy. And that's a relationship this guy forsakes. He gives up a relationship with Jesus because he loves himself so much and what he has. You need Jesus. Have a relationship with Jesus. Be baptized in Jesus' name. Believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Follow Jesus. Love Jesus. He's my strength, my tower. Have a relationship with Jesus and there'll be joy unending even when you suffer. There's sickness, you lose your job. There's unending joy that bubbles up into paradise and you have treasure in heaven. You know, 50% of Americans are unhappy. All this wealth and half the people are unhappy. I wonder why. Could it be they don't have this relationship with Jesus? The man makes his choice. He forsakes Christ. Will you go home sad? Will you go home happy? What will you do with Jesus? Let me ask again. What are you going to do with Jesus? Salvation's right here. The Word of God is right here. Christ is right here. You're the rich young man. The Word of God is right here in your ears. Christ is saying, come follow me. What will you do with Jesus? Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us